survival in the days in which we live. Many of you are familiar with the name of Noel Grant. He was a greatly used evangelist in this province. Back in the 1950s, towards the end of the 1950s, he and Matt Bolan, the two names go together. Bolan was the song leader, Grant was the evangelist. They held tent meetings in the area in around Mount Norris and Glen Ann. In those days, they would hold a mission in one of the little villages and then just immediately move down the road a couple of miles and commence another mission. So they thoroughly evangelised the area. Whenever they went to Mount Norris at the end of the 1950s, it was a great time of refreshing, and many souls were saved. In fact, the reports tell of that one mission that something like 80 people came to know Christ as their Saviour. You think back even in the history of this congregation, some of you remember the great gospel missions, the tent mission just over Barrack Hill and Stewart's Hill in 1965, and then at the time of the opening of this building almost 46 years ago, when Mr. Paisley preached for 3 weeks or so, and in 65 it was 107 souls professed faith. 55 souls came at the mission in 1975. And then there was a further time of blessing in the early 1980s when Mr. McRae came and a gospel mission was held here in this church blessing. So times of great blessing, times of revival, really. Many that passed through those times testified afterwards that they didn't really realise that they were passing through times of the moving of God among them. And the reality is, it's great to hear those stories, the stories of former blessing, the stories of how the Lord has worked in the area. We're always encouraged, thrilled even. We're greatly blessed to hear those stories. But let me emphasise to you that when we hear the stories of what the Lord did in those times, often we feel that that could never happen again. Our outlook and our thinking today is that really we could never see such times of blessing and soul winning repeated. We think to ourselves, well, we could put up the tent, we could put up a hall, we could do the outreach, we could have the meetings, we could invite the people, but really we don't expect anything to happen. And it's sad. It's a sad reflection that we think like that. Often, if we're honest, it's an excuse for the hardness of our hearts, the indifference to the Lord's work, maybe the worldliness of life that has crept in to our hearts and crept into the church. But the reality is, it's nothing short of the doctrine of unbelief. And remember that the Bible does say that unbelief is a sin. The book of Hebrews clearly, specifically states, it talks about a wicked heart of unbelief. That's what kept the children of Israel out of the land of promise, kept them out of Canaan. And that same wicked heart of unbelief will keep us out of blessing as well, if we don't guard against it as we should. Just like every other sin, it's one that should be confessed and repented of, and we need to cry to the Lord to give us his forgiveness for it. So I say to you tonight, let us have done with doubt, and let us have done with unbelief, and let us remember that God can still work, and God can still save, and God can still bless his work and bless his people today in a mighty way. And the words of the psalmist that are here before us, in the words of verse 6 that we want to take tonight as our text, emphasize that fact to us. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? I underline for you, encourage you to emphasize it in your own mind tonight. Notice the word carefully, the word again. Wilt thou not revive us again? So the psalmist is teaching us clearly, God can repeat former blessing. God can do those things, some of which we've outlined to you at the beginning in the introduction tonight, God can do those things again, similar visitations, even greater visitations of his Spirit and of his power. He has stated it clearly for us in his word. So I say to you tonight, let us take comfort. Let us take courage. Let us take great encouragement from the truth that is before us and recorded for us on the page of Holy Scripture. God still can give a time of revival. And I want to give to you tonight some reasons why that is so. Some reasons why God can still give times of refreshing. Some reasons why the Church of Jesus Christ can still see revival, see times of blessing, even amidst the darkness, the wickedness, the difficulty of the days in which we're found. Let me mention, first of all, the grace of God. And that's a very important reason why we can still see revival, see God move in the saving of many sinners. Remember that sinners are saved by grace. Good to settle that in your mind again. And in the truth of the Reformation doctrine, the Reformation solas, sinners are saved by grace alone. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, said, "For by grace are you saved through faith." So just ponder that. Let us see that great gospel truth afresh tonight. John Bunyan, he wrote a book entitled Grace Abounding to the Chief of Sinners. It was really an autobiography. He was writing his own story, telling the details of his own conversion to Christ. And the fact tonight, brethren and sisters, is this: God's grace is still abounding. I want you to grasp that. There has been no change. Let us never, ever convince ourselves that that is the case. His grace abounds. In other words, his grace has no limits. That's what Paul said, writing to the church at Rome. Where sin abounds, grace doth much more abound. So I want you to take heart from that tonight. Be encouraged by it. That's a text that is very relevant for the day and for the time in which we live. It is true, as we look out on our land and across the earth, sin is abounding. The tide of evil is coming in. But as you see that, men and women, never forget that God's grace still abounds. Whenever we were in the college, Mr. Douglas's class, there were some fellows that liked to have a little prank or two, even with some of the lectures. While we were waiting on Mr. Douglas coming to the class, one day one of them set a banger down in the pew. In the classroom there, it was the old building that Dr. Paisley preached his first sermon in, up at 6 Mile Cross, and just beside the lectern where the lectures would stand was the pew that Dr. Paisley kneeled at in Hill Street Baptist Church in Ballymena when he gave his heart to Christ. So that's where this prankster set the banger. Mr. Douglas started into his lecture that day, maybe about 15 or 20 minutes into it. He was talking about the superabounding grace of God. And just at that moment, he happened to look down and he saw this banger sitting. And of course, it was triggered so that if you lifted it, it would go off with a bang. So he reached down and he lifted it, and lo and behold, it didn't make a squeak. Nothing happened, and the whole class erupted in laughter. He said to the class, "Why are you laughing? Was this thing meant to go off bang or something like that?" He says, "That's an example just of what I've been talking about, the superabounding grace of God." So he was well fit for the occasion. So I want to emphasize that great truth to you tonight, brethren and sisters. God's grace, it's super abounding. And that's something that we need to see, need the Lord to come and impress upon our hearts, especially as we face the future at this time in the work of God. Remember, there's still grace with God to save the vilest of sinners. You think of John Newton. He called it amazing grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. He described it in that way because of what it did in his own life. the change, the great transformation that took place. And the reality, men and women, is his grace is still amazing. The problem with us sometimes, we're so cold, so indifferent, we have lost sight of how amazing the grace of God has been, even in our own hearts and in our own lives. So let us never forget that. Let us never lose sight of it. Let us pray that God will grip our hearts, even with that great reality in the prayer meeting tonight. You think of the greatest sinner in the city of Armagh. Maybe as you think of the greatest sinner in this city, it's somebody that's a member of your family, somebody that's one of your closest friends, maybe from childhood. Well, remember that it doesn't matter tonight how great or how black their sins may be. God's grace is able to save them. God's grace can raise them from that miry clay of sin in which they're found. Just as it saved in the past, good to read those stories, to hear the stories told of the greatness of God's grace in the past. But remember that all of God's graces and all of his attributes are just like his person. They are unchangeable. His grace is still the same, brethren and sisters. You in a former time would have heard people talk about trophies of grace. It's a term that's maybe not just used as much today. What's meant by a trophy of grace is somebody that lived a wild life, wild man, wild woman, in the depths of sin, and God spoke to them, the Spirit of God arrested them, their life was changed, and it all happened by the grace of God. And that's what we want to see, brethren and sisters. And because of the unchanging grace of God, that amazing, that superabounding grace of God, because it still abounds, brethren and sisters, that's one reason why we can still see revival in the days in which we live. Another, not just the grace, but the gospel. You think of the fact that we evangelize, we declare the gospel, we tell others of Christ, and we do that in obedience to the Great Commission, to preach the gospel to every creature. The Christian life can really be summed up like this. We're to obey the Great Commandment and the Great Commission. The Great Commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and so on. And the Great Commission is to go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. And I say to you tonight, may that commission, the commission that our ascending Saviour gave to us before he departed from this world to heaven, may that commission burn afresh in our souls, even in the meeting tonight and in the days that lie ahead. Vance Havner, the American evangelist, said, "The gospel is not just something we go to church to hear." Often that's our attitude, our outlook. We think the gospel's just something we go along to the meeting, particularly on a Sunday night, to hear. But the gospel's not just something we go to church to hear. The gospel is something we go from church to tell. And may the Lord write that upon all of our hearts tonight, brethren and sisters. If the unconverted won't come to the meetings, if they won't come to the house of God, if they're so caught up in their worldly life and the things of this world, then we're to go to where they are with the message of the gospel. Do you remember what the scriptures tell us, or what the Savior said to the disciples at that time? As ye go, preach. It's not a good way to live. We should be looking for opportunities every day to preach. Remember that there's a sense in which the word preach is used of gossiping, the gospel. The idea is that you talk to the people you meet about the things of God. So as you go, brethren and sisters, wherever you go, wherever God in his providence takes you, as you go, preach. Why do we do outreach? Why do we hold missions? Why do we have gospel meetings and Sunday school and children's meetings and so on? It's to spread the gospel, to tell others of Christ. Paul said to the Corinthians, "I declare unto you the gospel." Not theories, not fables, not philosophies, not political ideologies. He says, "I declare the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves." And as you think tonight of the gospel, remember that the message that we preach is a life-giving, life-changing message. It's a living message, and it tells of a living Savior. Paul said to the Romans, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation. What an encouraging truth that is, brethren and sisters. There's power in the gospel. There's power in the message that God has given to us to proclaim. That sets it apart from every other story, from every other message that is declared across the face of this world. There's power in the message of the gospel to change lives and to save souls from a lost eternity. I know that we might feel that tonight and experience it in our own souls. It's not the power of the preacher. It's not the power of the church. It's the power of God unto salvation. And what we need to do as we think of that, we need to ask the Lord to increase our faith. Increase our faith in His word, and increase our faith in the message that He has given to us to proclaim. It was the power of God 2,000 years ago when the Apostle Paul wrote those words in that epistle to the church at Rome, and it's still the case today, brethren and sisters. It was the power of God then among the Jews and among the Greeks. By the word Greeks there, he means the Gentiles, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. And the gospel that we preach today is the same message, the same gospel. It still has the same power unto salvation. We're not depending on human ability or human personalities. Those things have their place, even in the work of God. But what we're depending upon is this. We're depending upon the power of the gospel. That word power, when Paul says there the gospel's the power of God, it's an interesting word. It's the Greek word dunamis. It's where we get our English word dynamite. So really the message is the gospel is the spiritual dynamite. So you think of hearts that are hardened by sin. You think of a nation, a country that's hardening itself against God, even as we thought of on the Sabbath evening, those that respond to the gospel and harden themselves against it. You think of a city like ours that's hard against the things of God. Well, what do they need? What can break them, those hardened hearts? Well, what they need is a blast of the dynamite of heaven. The gospel that shook Armagh in the 70s, the 80s, even back in the 60s, it can still shake it today, brethren and sisters. And it can do it for this reason. It's the same gospel. And it possesses the same power as it did. There's an old gospel hymn that talks about those days long ago. Well, the gospel possesses the same power as it did in those days long ago. The other reason I'll give to you as to why we can still see revival is the ghost. I'm not thinking of something spooky. No, there is another ghost that the Bible speaks about, and that's the Holy Ghost. It's not a very interesting title for the Spirit of God. Did you ever ask yourself the question, why is the third person of the Trinity called a ghost? Why is the Spirit of God given that title? That's a very interesting study, very interesting consideration. A ghost is the spirit of a departed person that has returned. And men and women, that's what the Holy Ghost is. It's the spirit of a departed person. Our Lord Jesus Christ departed, ascended from this world to heaven. He's going to come again. But at this present time, He has departed and ascended. And that's what the Holy Spirit is. Normally, when people think of a ghost, they're frightened. They think of a spirit that will haunt them. But the Lord Jesus has sent His Spirit to help us. So for that reason, there's no need to fear this spirit. And there's no need to fear this ghost, as He's described. He's the Holy Ghost. The word comforter. The Lord Jesus is the comforter. He said He would send another comforter. The other comforter was the Spirit of God. The word that's used there for comforter is the word paraclete. It has the idea of one that comes alongside God's people in their time, their hour of need, especially their hour of grief. And He comes alongside for this reason. He comes alongside to help. And I want you to know, brethren and sisters, tonight, if we can have the help of the Holy Ghost in the work and in the ministry of the gospel here in this place, then there's absolutely no knowing what the Lord can do. There's absolutely no knowing what could happen again in this church and in this city. The Spirit of God will draw the people in. The Spirit of God will cause conviction in the hearts and lives even of the deepest sinners. He will awaken sinners. He will apply the message of salvation to the hearts of those that are still out of Christ. And remember, as you think of the Spirit of God coming and the longing that we have for the Spirit of God to come, remember that he comes by prayer, comes in answer to prayer. So that's why a meeting like this is so important. The Savior said he will give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. So we need to pray to God, and we need to pray to the Lord that the Holy Ghost will come upon this church. We need to give a Macedonian call to heaven, and we need to cry to the Lord that the Spirit of God will come over into Armagh and help us in the gospel work in which we're engaged in this place. So I want to urge you to pray for that. I want to urge you to pray about that privately at home. I want to encourage you to keep coming to the prayer meetings. Let us not despair. Let us not lose heart. Let us hold on to God at the throne of grace. Oswald J. Smith, it was under Dr. Smith's ministry that Dr. Cook came to Christ. He was a mightily used evangelist. He used to take time, set aside time, to pray over certain passages of Scripture. You can actually buy books that give excerpts of his diaries, his journals, when he gives an account of those prayer meetings and the experience of the Lord's presence that they enjoyed. They pleaded over passages of Scripture. Just for an example, the portion we considered a couple of weeks ago from Joel chapter 2, when he said, "I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh." He pleaded those promises, those passages before God. He asked the Lord to do it, to pour out his Spirit upon them in their labours. And I say to you tonight, if we want to see the blessing of former times, then that's something that we must do as well. When I took the school assemblies for just over 9 years in King's Mills Primary School, there was a little chorus the children liked to sing quite regularly. All over the world, the Spirit is moving. What an encouragement that is. Sometimes we're very narrow in our focus. God is at work in other places, all around the world. Just because he's not working here as he did in former times doesn't mean the Lord isn't working at all. But let us pray, brethren and sisters, that all over Armagh, all over this city, all over this county, all over this province, that the Spirit of God will be moving. Can I remind you, just as we close tonight, of the importance of obedience, particularly in connection with the matter of the Spirit of God coming down upon the church. In the book of Acts, we are told that the Lord gives the Holy Spirit to them that obey him. Don't pass over that. If we do his will, if we obey his word, if we keep his commandments, it's then that the Spirit of God will come upon us as his people. But remember, we can't grieve the Spirit. We can't quench the Holy Ghost. And if that happens, he can withdraw his presence, withdraw his power and his blessing. And that's a solemn thought, how awful that is for any person, and how awful that is for any church. Remember, that's what happened to the nation of Israel. If you read the book of Ezekiel, the Shekinah glory of God, step by step, stage by stage, left the house of God, left the city, up onto the Mount of Olives. The Shekinah, the glory, the presence of God. Remember Ichabod, the Lord has departed. And that's what was happening to the nation of Israel in the days of Ezekiel. So here's three reasons, brethren and sisters, why we can still see revival, why we can still see times of great blessing in the church and in our labours. the grace of God that is unchanging, the gospel, that mighty message, the power of God unto salvation, and the ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost is still available to us as his people. So take encouragement tonight from the text of Scripture that is before us. Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? May the Lord bless his word. Make it a blessing to all that are gathered. Just quickly.